excited to have you aboard as we launch into a new edition of our show. My name is Carl Azus. We begin today in the Caribbean nation of Haiti. Still don't have an update for you on the fate of 17 American missionaries who were kidnapped there on October 16th. The gang responsible has demanded $17 million for their release. American and Haitian authorities have been assisting in negotiations to get the Christians freed. An extreme increase in kidnappings like this is only one of the problems the island nation faces. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. The U.S. government says almost 60% of Haitians, that's most of the country's 11-plus million people, live below their nation's poverty line, and more than 40% of Haiti's workforce is out of a job. Decades of political corruption, a series of recent natural disasters, the assassination of Haiti's president earlier this year, it's all taken a toll, and an ongoing shortage of gasoline is one of the problems. Haiti's government has a gas law that's contributing to this crisis. It limits the price that fuel can legally be sold at, and if international oil prices go higher, which they have, the government is supposed to make up the difference. But oftentimes, it can't. In the recent financial year that ended in September, the fuel subsidy cost Haiti's government about $300 million, and sometimes it just doesn't have the cash to buy enough gas for Haiti's population. The hardships this causes are hitting hospitals. One of the largest medical care facilities in the Haitian capital doesn't have enough electricity to properly treat its patients, and it doesn't have enough gas to run its backup power generators. Businesses and factories, they're having the same problem. And even if Haiti's government has the revenue to subsidize fuel, it might not have the manpower to safely get it to gas stations.
Spot protests across Port-au-Prince, burning tires below, sending black smoke into the sky. The country is in crisis once again, in part fueled by a lack of fuel. A crushing shortage of gasoline has crippled the capital city. Here, taxi drivers protesting, arguing with police outside of a gas station with no gas. We don't have a government, this man says. If we don't demand change, who will? Tires set on fire and debris thrown into the street are desperate attempts to cause enough chaos that the government tries to fix the problem. But it won't be easy. Not only is the government so broke it often can't buy enough fuel, but when some arrives, it can't get delivered. The vast majority of fuel is imported at these two locations, but gangs in Port-au-Prince are so powerful, they have near complete control over this crucial stretch of highway, which means they control the flow of fuel into the capital. A gas retailer, identity hidden due to security concerns, told us what happens if you try and drive a tanker truck in to pick up fuel.
So I might get kidnapped.
Yeah.
I might get shot.
Yes, if you don't stop.
I might get killed.
Yes.
Or at the very least, I'm going to have to pay an exorbitant bribe to
yes,
get past.
Of course.
Haiti's government and law enforcement are either unwilling or unable to secure a flow of fuel from the ports.
But not having enough fuel doesn't just mean you can't use your motorbike. Consider this. Here in Port-au-Prince, the electricity grid is not reliable. So let's say you own a small store and you sell cold drinks. In order to keep that refrigerator running, you need to use a generator. And if the fuel going into that generator is way more expensive than it was before, that means you need to charge your customers more for those cold drinks. Not having enough fuel makes all kinds of things more expensive, and that's brutal in a country already dealing with so much poverty.
10-second trivia. What percentage of the ocean floor has never been mapped or explored by humans? 5, 10, 50, or 80%? According to the U.S. government, people haven't mapped or even seen 80% of the world's oceans. An eye-opening fact, considering they cover more than 70% of the Earth's surface and contain about 97% of Earth's water. But the U.S. government spends a lot more on space exploration than ocean exploration. NASA receives more than $20 billion in federal funding each year. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, receives less than $6 billion. Several hundred people have traveled to space. Fewer than 30 have ever been to the deepest part of the sea. Why is this? One reason is technology. People have been able to build orbiting stations in space, but we don't yet have the ability to build a station that can withstand the crushing pressures of the deep ocean. Critics of ocean exploration say some of the remote seafloor that has been observed is like a desert. It doesn't have a lot of features except for the strange animals that sometimes appear. But different companies are developing new technologies to map it.
This electric submarine roams the ocean using sonars, cameras, and lasers to navigate and map the bottom of the sea. That's according to Anthony DeMare. He co-founded U.S. based startup Bedrock Ocean Exploration in 2020 to develop the robotic vehicle and give marine industries a better understanding of their environment.
It seems strange even today that we don't actually have a full ocean map, let alone understand the complex geology of any given area.
In fact, we know more about the surface of Mars than we do about the ocean floor. Just over 20% of the ocean floor is mapped today. Getting a fuller picture can help build critical infrastructure on the seabed, from offshore wind farms to telecom cables, and better predict the effects of climate change. But gathering this information requires a lot of resources.
Right now, most of ocean mapping happens through ships that require 30 to 60 people to operate. And then there's a whole data analysis problem on top of that. Understanding exhibits of geospatial data about the ocean and then being able to pick out the important things within it. And that process just takes 6 to 12 months.
Bedrock can create seabed surveys up to 10 times faster than traditional methods. The submarine is also safe for the marine environment, according to DeMare.
It moves at a little over 2 miles an hour. This is the equivalent of like a human swimming through the water at very low speeds. And the sonars on board are all above a 200 kilohertz limit. So we don't have any auditory effect on marine mammals.
But Bedrock's battery-powered submarine can venture less than 60 miles before it needs to return to shore and recharge, DeMare says, which means it can't reach more remote parts of the sea. Limited battery life is a problem facing autonomous mapping vehicles around the world, one California-based oceanographer, Yi Chao, is trying to solve. While working at NASA, Chao developed technology to power data-gathering robots by the very depths they are exploring.
We can harvest energy from the sea, from the natural occurring temperature difference. So the robot will swim in the ocean, they get charged by the sea, so they can extend their lifetime almost indefinitely.
Chao founded SeaTrek in 2016 to commercialize the technology. He says each power unit costs around $25,000, but the ability to stay in the water longer makes data gathering up to 5 times cheaper, according to Chao. Even with cost-cutting technologies, completing the seabed map will be expensive, experts say.
The estimate is somewhere between $3 and $5 billion, which is a huge amount. But actually, it's pretty much the same order of magnitude as the cost of sending a mission to Mars.
Both Chao and DeMare are working toward the goal set by the Nippon Foundation GEPCO Seabed 2030 project to complete the ocean map within this decade. So while there is still a way to go, for these explorers, it's about time we started investing in our own planet.
CNN reporter Anna Stewart has an awesome rapport with turkeys. They were simply starstruck surrounding her as she gave an update on a worker shortage in England's turkey industry. Now, Anna didn't say if she had any food in her pockets to attract such attention, but she did do a trick for CNN anchor Julia Chatterley.
If you clap. I mean, in some ways, they're a great audience.
Now, you can't do something like that and not be asked to do it again, so Anna did.
Fabulous.
Anna Stewart at a turkey farm in Essex.
Well, that about gobbles up our time. Maybe you smelled that one cooking. But if we're about to trot out some turkey puns, you know I'm not going to be snooty about it. I will waddle them out one by one like your goofy car uncle, giving thanks to have listeners to my rec tricks of the trade. I'm Uncle Coral Azus. Today's shout-out takes us to Aremo, Idaho, where we would like to recognize the students of Marsh Valley High School. They did the only thing you can do to get mentioned on our show. They subscribed and left a comment at youtube.com/CNN10.